Exodus 29. And we'll pick up here at verse number. Exodus 29, verse number 15. Exodus 29 and verse number 15. Alright? The Bible says this. Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood, and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces, and wash the inwards of him, and his legs, and put them unto his pieces, and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Father, thank you for your precious, holy, and wonderful word. Lord, guide us and instruct us this morning. Help us to be attentive. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, brethren. Now, we've been looking at the last couple of weeks about this, the consecration ceremony for the priests and all the things that go into this. And now last week, and I want you to get this, last week we saw how they offered up a bullock. And if you'll remember, that bullock was offered up for a sin offering. All right, you remember? It was offered for a sin offering. Look at Exodus 29, verse number 14. But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shall thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. Now today we're going to look up at what the next offering that was offered was a ram, and this was offered as a burnt offering. And there's a difference. The Bible speaks of sin offerings, trespass offerings, peace offerings, burnt offerings. Last week was a sin offering. This week is a burnt offering that would see that we're going to look at it as it pertains to service. And brethren, may I say this to you, that until your sins are dealt with, you can't serve God. Until your sins are dealt with at the cross of Calvary, you can't serve God. A lot of people want to serve God, but they want to do it on their terms and their way. A lot of people think, you know, it's a commendable thing to do to serve God, but they want to serve God without their sins ever being dealt with. You've got to get your sins dealt with first. Then you can be made clean through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to serve God in sincerity and in truth and according to His Word. Alright? So, first was the sin offering. Now we're going to look at the burnt offering. Look at verse number 15 again. Moses, under the inspiration of God, is instructing Moses, rather, and says in verse 15, "Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram." Now, remember last week we saw how the Aaron and his sons put their hands on the head of that bullock, and they made identification with that bullock as a symbolic transferring of their sin and guilt to that bullock, that substitute, and they put their hands on there and made that contact and that identification. Now, with this burnt offering of the ram, Aaron and his sons come, and again, they put their hands on the head of this ram. They make identification with this sacrifice that's being offered. Again, brethren, an identifying takes place with the sacrifice. This ram is a burnt offering unto the Lord. All right, look what it says. Look what it says in verse 18. "And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt," not a sin offering, "it is a burnt offering unto the Lord." A burnt offering unto the Lord. First a sin offering, now a burnt offering offered who? Unto the Lord. Brethren, just as the sin offering is to be identified with, so also is the burnt offering. We need to make contact with Christ as our sin bearer, and we need to make contact with Christ for service. The only way we can be pleasing to God and our service acceptable is in and through Christ Jesus. You are accepted with God through Christ, and your service is accepted to God through Christ. Everything always in and through Him. He's everything. Take your Bible, go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Brethren, it's folly to think that you come to God through Christ, but then that you can serve God outside of Christ. Brethren, we come to God through Christ, and our service is made acceptable through Christ, in and through Him, and through His will. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, the Bible says this, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up," look at this, "to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God." How are our spiritual sacrifices made acceptable to God? By Jesus Christ. That's how, brother, you and I don't offer up rams and goats and bulls and calves anymore. We don't do that. We don't offer up. We offer up now spiritual sacrifices. You and I didn't inherit at this point a physical kingdom. We inherited a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God that dwells within us. It's a new birth. And brethren, we are now to offer up spiritual sacrifices. The Bible gives us examples of those. The Bible talks of doing good and to communicate, giving thanks. The Bible says with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Brethren, the giving of thanks is a spiritual sacrifice. You're not taking the glory to yourself, you're giving the glory to God. To do good by others, to communicate, to meet the needs of others, and do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. These are spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing to God, and spiritual sacrifices that we are to offer up. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Brethren, God saved you to serve. We saved you to fellowship with Him, and then a natural byproduct, a natural offshoot of that fellowship is service. God saved you to fellowship with Himself, and then an offproduct of that that just naturally occurs, like night follows day, is service. He saved you, you're to fellowship with Him, love Him, walk with Him, and service will naturally extend from that. Spiritual sacrifices, doing good, serving, doing right by others. 2 Corinthians 12, look at verse 9. The Bible says this, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then am I strong." All right, brethren, look here. We see here the same thing of our service to God. We can't avail anything. We can't do anything as far as service to God unless it's done through the power of Jesus Christ. Not our own strength, like we were looking this morning in Sunday school. Not our own strength and power, but through Him. And how is Christ's strength perfected? Through our weakness. You ask God to serve you, to be used of Him. You ask God to let you serve Him. You ask God to let you be used of Him. And then God works things in your lives to break you down. And you wonder, well, God, I want to serve you. Why are you letting this happen? So you can become weak that He may be strong in you. Christ can't work in a life dominated by you. All right? He can't do that. All right? You're in the way. And you've got to get out of the way. And so often that way is being made weak. Right, but I never forget, Brother Wayne Ferris said, you know, that he thought he could go to New Guinea and really do something for God there. You know, he was in the prime of his life and big strong fellow, you know, knew how to do stuff and climb up down those hills. God let him get a car wreck and broken to pieces. He said, God let him know, Wayne, I don't need what you've got. You need me. And that's it, brethren. And God will often, He's answering your prayer when He's breaking you down to get you to the place to where, you know, God, I can't do anything. You'll have to do it. Bingo, you got it. If it gets done, He'll have to do it. Listen, Paul said, when Paul got a hold of that fact, when Paul got a hold of that, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. So that's contrary to the naturalistic way of looking at things. That's not logical. We think you're supposed to, you know, you get yourself towards your, at your most optimum to serve. But in spiritual matters, brethren, you can't go in your strength and power and might. It's got to be Christ working in you. And in order for Christ to work in you, you have to get out of the way. And that means something we're going to look at this morning. That means death. And we're going to see that in this ram. All right, we're going to see that. Again, I submit to you as the burnt offering was offered unto the Lord after the sin offering, so we, after our sins have been forgiven, are to offer ourselves wholly unto God for acceptable service. What did the text say? Look back at Exodus 29, what did the text say? Exodus 29, verse 18, and thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. Did you get that? The whole ram. The whole ram was to be offered upon the altar. What does Romans 12 say, verse 1? It says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Brethren, you get saved, you're to offer your body, listen, you're to offer you lot, stock, and barrel to God. God wants all of you. And you need to ask yourself this morning, is there a part of you that's being held back? And if it is, you need to get that surrender. Like the song says, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only have, I forget the rest of the song, but it goes on to say, when your all on the altar is laid. And you've got to ask yourself that this morning, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Is it? Is there some part you're holding back? Everything. Everything. In fact, brother, go back to Exodus 29 and look at this. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. Exodus 29. And I want you to look with me, please. Exodus 29. Look with me, please, at verse number is 18, I believe, where I was at. Exodus 29 and verse number 18. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. Did you see that? Thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. Okay. Now, does that mean... And I want you to listen, listen, please, brethren, get this. Does that mean that they were to take, and after they slew that ram and poured its blood out, does that mean they took that ram? Because it said the whole ram. It did say it. I mean, it says right here, it says, thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. But so then did they slay it? Take and shed the blood out of that ram and then just lay it up on the altar? No. But Brother Doss, the whole thing was to be offered, right? Right. The whole ram. But they didn't just lay the whole thing on the altar. It had to be divided and arranged in the manner God wanted it. God wants every bit of you on that altar surrendered. But first, you've got to be divided and arranged in the manner He wants you. Your life has got to be divided up and arranged the way He wants you. Your time has got to be divided up and arranged in the way He wants it. You didn't just plop that ram up there and say, okay, Lord, whole ram, here it is. Lord said, no. You got to divide it up and arrange it in a certain manner and then offer it. And God wants you and your life and your time divided up and arranged in the way that He desires. Not just any old way or in the way that you think is fitting. What He says. Look, let's go back. Look at Exodus 29. The ram, or Exodus 29, verse 16. And thou shalt slay the ram. Thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. Alright, so this ram, listen, this ram, which was to be offered as a burnt offering unto the Lord, must first be slain. Okay? It's got to be slain. You said, Brother Dawson, you read and said, we're to offer our bodies a living sacrifice. Exactly. But you can't offer your body a living sacrifice until a part of you is dead first. You got to die. There's got to be death. This ram, in order to be offered, had to die. And for your body to be presented a living sacrifice, self has got to die. Take your Bible and go to Romans 8. You know the big problem, brethren? You know what your problem was? That one of the things God had to save you from? Sin? Yeah, there's another S word. Self. And you want to get away in the service? Self. You know the big problem we got? Self. Romans 8, verse 36. As it is written. Now look here. I'm talking about as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Brethren, that ram had to die to be offered. And for your service to be acceptable to God, for your body to be presented a living sacrifice, you have to die to self. And man, self and this flesh wants to live and reign so much so it'll cut deals. It'll cut deals, it'll work things out. Man, God wants all of you. It said the whole ram. The whole ram. God wants all of you. Your body living sacrifice, but that means death to self. What about me? What about me? Oh, listen, let me tell you something. Offering your body living sacrifice and dying to self means that, look, God may let your life go along as it is now, but that you yield the right for Him to intervene whenever He desires to. You yield and you acknowledge the right for Him to intervene at any time He wants to and say, I need to talk to you. I want your attention. Do this, do that. Don't do this. That any time He wants to, He interrupts your life. And you acknowledge that right of His to do so and yield to Him. You may this morning, if you've never done so, you may this morning lay everything on the altar. There may be something you've held back, something you're keeping back. You may this morning lay everything on the altar of sacrifice. Leave this building and everything in your life just continue right along. But the key is that you've yielded up your will to God to this extent. To say, God, when you want to intervene in my life and guide me and direct me, I acknowledge your right to do so. Well, you may get up and tomorrow just proceed along like you kind of planned for it to do. You know the thing. You go to work, you do this and that. But you acknowledge the right of God to intervene in your affairs and guide you and direct you and have His way and His will. Romans, listen, go to Luke 9 just a minute. Luke 9. But what if God just quit trying to figure everything out? Quit trying to trust Him. Trust Him. He's your Creator. He's your Redeemer. He bought you with His blood if you're saved. And listen, the only way you can know anything of having any kind of life in this present life is to be yielded to Him, for He can guide you, direct you, and have His way and His will in your life. Anything else will just leave you frustrated. Frustrated and empty and angry and ill. Come on, brethren. Haven't you found when you kick against the pricks, you're a miserable person to be around? When you kick against the will of God and try to go your own way, and don't you know, haven't you always found it to be so that when you give up, you find peace, you find contentment, you find joy? It's always better that way. Luke 9, verse 23. The Bible says this, "And He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Daily. Do you understand that means, the brethren, that there's a daily dying to self that must take place? You realize tomorrow morning you and I need to get up and we need to put self on that cross and die to self tomorrow, and then get up Tuesday if we're still here and die to self Tuesday and Wednesday and so on and so on and so on. Jesus said take up a cross daily. You understand that when a person in those times took up a cross, as A.W. Tozer so aptly put it, when someone took up the cross, everybody understood what was going on. You were going to die. You didn't take up a cross to go out and play games. You understand? You didn't take a cross up to go out and engage in any kind of recreation. You took a cross up to go die. Brother, you said, our bodies are living sacrifice. Exactly, but you must die to self. And their song says to die to deer, self-will resigned. I can't remember all the words off again, but it talks of this same manner, the same thing we're talking about this morning. You take up the cross daily, dying to self. Brethren, what God desires is that yielding. He might not, listen, He might, brethren, tomorrow God may allow you to go, just like every Monday maybe normally goes for you. He may allow things to, but the thing of it is that you've yielded and said, Lord, Yours today. Yours today, God. Yours. And brethren, so when you do that, and interruptions come, get asked to you. Man! I plan today to... Whoa now. Didn't you this morning? Didn't you pray and say? Yeah, but I... But don't you understand? Today I planned on... Right. Brother, I got things tomorrow, Lord willing. I got, you know. And tomorrow there's things that I plan on. Well, fine. Those things get took care of, but be willing to say, Lord, I yield this the right to you. I yield to you, Lord, that you have the right to interfere and intervene any way you desire to see fit. And I trust you in that. So that then when that comes up, you say, well, praise the Lord, all right. What next, Lord? What next? What next? Maybe it's something you plan to do around the house, on the job, up here. You know what I'm saying?
I know Sister Bonner tomorrow is thinking about maybe doing some up here. That's fine. That's great. That's good to go ahead and play. But if something intervenes, okay. That we say, oh Lord, you've got to write. You know what, brethren? But brethren, we like structure. Well, I hope we like structure. But brethren, the problem with that is we cannot be so inflexible that we get so tied to something that when God intervenes, that it just, we snap and break. We snap. Brethren, we've got to have a flexibility to us that says, God, you have the right. You have the right. You see, we're like, but my plans. My plans. No, brethren. We yield that to God. What He will. And He may allow those plans to proceed right along. But if He desires to do different, we've yielded the right and the authority, and we acknowledge that for Him to do that. Okay? And we don't fret it. We don't get upset. All right, look here. Brethren, take your Bible. Take your Bible. Go back to Exodus 29. Brother, take up that cross daily. That means tomorrow. That means Tuesday. That means Wednesday. That means every day. Newly. Dying to self. Paul says, crucified with Christ, nevertheless, he lived, yet not him, but Christ lived in him. A life which he lived by the faith of the Son of God, who loved him and gave himself for him. Look, brethren, Exodus 29, look what next in verse number 17. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces. Now, see, they identified with it. They made an identification. But then you need to identify daily and say, Lord, it's your day. Lord, I'm yours. You bought me with your blood. I'm yours. Your will today. Lord, help me not get frustrated when your will intervenes in my plans. Help me to acquiesce, Lord, to your will. And you identify with that. Then that ram was to be slain. There has to be death. Death to self. Then after that ram was slain, look, they didn't just lay it wholly on the altar. They had to divide it in pieces. Look what it says. And verse 17, thou shalt cut the ram in pieces. That ram was first slain, and then the parts were divided and arranged in the manner the Lord wanted them. It says, and thou shalt cut the ram in pieces, and later on, there's going to be a certain arrangement for them. Brethren, you and I need to die to self, submit to God, and let Him divide and arrange your life and your time as He sees fit. Go to Isaiah 55. You see, after it died, oh, please get this morning. After that ram died, it was then divided. It was cut in pieces. Don't you see? After you die to self, you yield to God to divide your life and your time in any way He sees fit. I'm not saying there's wrong with having your plans. I'm not saying there's wrong with organization. God's a God of organization. Let God, be willing to yield to God the right to intervene and rearrange your time. And rearrange your schedule. And rearrange events in your life for His honor and glory. All right, that ram was slain, it died, and then it was divided up in the manner God wanted it. And brother, God may have something for your life tomorrow. He may want to divide your time. Hey, brother, I know how it is. I get frustrated when things don't go to my schedule. I get frustrated. All right? Because I had my time, my schedule. Brother, I've got to. Brother, too many believers are frustrated in their daily affairs. Because, listen, though we understand the principle, we've not yielded to God and let Him, yielded the right to Him to intervene any way He wants to. And just, all right, Lord, I see what you're, okay, Lord, yes, I trust you in that, amen. All right? Let Him divide it the way He wants, for His honor, His glory. Please get that down. But I'll get things in my mind possibly tomorrow and think, well, I know how I can serve God today. And I'll do this effectively for the, brother, I need to let Him working there. There may be somebody He wants me to see. There may be somebody He wants me to talk to. There may be a situation He wants me to avoid. Go along with your plans until God intervenes in them. Don't kick against Him. Look here, Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And I want you to look with me, please, as soon as I get there myself. Isaiah 55. Look with me, please, at verse number 8. Isaiah 55, 8. The Bible says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Get on the level there with God. God think God's ways are not our ways. He doesn't think as we think. His ways are above our ways, and His thoughts above our thoughts, like the heavens are higher than the earth. Exodus 29, look again at verse number 17. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces." Look at the next part. "And wash the inwards of him." So that ram was cut in pieces, and then the inwards were washed. You need your innards washed. You want to be a sacrifice well pleasing to God? You want to offer up spiritual sacrifices well pleasing? You need your inwards washed. Go to Psalm 51. Your innards. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Where I'm from, that's how you say inwards, innards. And if you knew anybody named Edwards, their name's not Edwards. Where I'm from, they're called Edwards. Edwards is. Psalm 51, verse 6. Psalm 51, verse 6. "Behold, thou desirest truth," where? "In the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Where does God desire truth at? Psalm 51, 6, in the inward parts. Where was that washing to take place? The inwards. The inwards. Listen, you need to let the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanse you, and you need the Word of God to wash you in the inward parts. In other words, no hypocrisy. Truth. Truth. Not just outwardly, but see, if we're true in ourselves inwardly, then your outside will get taken care of too. Truth in the inward parts. Go to 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7. That's a verse we quote a lot. 2 Corinthians 7. Divide it in pieces. Wash the inwards. So, you yield and God divides your day up tomorrow differently than the way you plan to divide it up. And you come home and you make it look like everything's okay, but inside your inwards, you're upset. You're mad. Your innards need some cleansing. You're upset. You're ticked. You're snappish. You're kind of, "Oh, amen, amen, everything's fine, everything's fine." You know, but you know what? There needs to be some cleansing. There's cleansing all the inwards. We need... What was that? Yes, sir. Hey, amen. Brother, true. You better believe it. Amen, brother. You spoke true words this morning. The same thing of taking up that cross daily. Exactly. Look here, brethren. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting wholeness in the fear of God. Hey, Ephesians 5 tells us what the Lord uses to cleanse the church with, the Word of God. The washing of water by the Word. Okay, look here, brethren. You've let God divide you up, divide your time up, divide your life up, but then, boy, you just wasn't expecting Him to do it like that. You thought He would give you advance warning. You thought God would take your daytimer planner on Sunday night and tell you how Monday's going to go. But that would go contrary to Scripture. Because He says, take no thought for tomorrow. But that's what we want us to do. Lord, if you'll just fill in my daytime planner, my day runner here, we'll everything will be fine. Just let me know. But see, that puts you, you're asking for power, you're asking for authority on the equivalent of, on the equal of God's footing. No. There's no need for faith and trust in that. God, fill me in, everything will be fine. No, you say, Lord, I don't know. I trust you. But see, after you do that, you need to wash the inwards. Because you'll be tempted to get an attitude. You're doing pretty good until it blindsided you at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You weren't expecting that. You thought it was going to come at 12 or 9 or something. You weren't expecting that. Oh, the day went pretty good until at 9 you got hit blindsided. It's fun to be spiritual when it's going our way and we want to be. Being spiritual is a blast when things conform to our plans. It's great. And we can have the most pious look. Well, you know, it's just serving the Lord, you know, just trying to, I'm just an old dog, you know, that God saved by His grace, we'll see what kind of dog we are. When all of a sudden He really, when the plans didn't hit us the way we thought they were going to. Oh, brethren, we are a needy people. Really, honestly. Lord, help us. Let's get our inwards washed. Let's be willing to pull aside some words just a minute and say, God, I am really bad right now. Lord, I've given this day to You, and now an interruption's come. Look how I'm handling it. And you know what the whole thing is? Look, You know, now that's granted. I thought the purpose of a wife was to blame everything on. I had to learn. I thought the purpose of the wife was when things don't happen right, it's always wife's fault. Even when there's no way under the sun and a three-year-old could figure out it was not the wife's fault, it's still supposed to be the wife's fault. You know, it's like, you know, brother, do you know, I'm going to be honest with you. God knows, there have been times in my life where I knew I couldn't blame her, but I wanted to so bad, it was almost like, I thought, is there not some way I can turn this situation around that I can blame her? Brother, I've been there. I've been there. Hey, I'm my daddy's boy. I'm my daddy's boy. I remember my daddy doing it. My daddy do it. You know? And his son is trying to get better, but his son has the same tendencies and the same flesh his dad's got. But I will say there's times I have bit my lip. But I thought, it's got to be. I've got to somehow be able to blame. Yeah, that's what a wife's for. She's there to... But that's so sad. That's so sad, brother. You know, but you know what? It wasn't her fault. Guess what the problem was? I had plans how I wanted things to do. They got interrupted, and I didn't like it. Self. I didn't die to self. And I got to have a scapegoat. And it's easy. And you know what's so bad then? Then you're really, What? Because you've been walking with God, you know, brethren, it's really maybe their fault. But you know what? So often, brethren, we're not where we ought to be. We'll try to make it, you know. And guys, it'll be so bad, we'll put such pressure on the wives to try to blame the kids. Wives probably going, oh, it's got to be one of their faults. Dogs are good to have around, huh? Lord, help us. Lord in heaven help. But brother, you know what? Listen, if we'll die, if we'll put self on that cross, wash the inwards. Wash the inwards. Take a good Psalm 66. Brother Doss, I wish you preached on prophecy this morning, but that ain't going to help you and me tomorrow. I mean, help us down the line, but brother, come on. I want to get where we're all real at, where we live at. God help us. Look here. Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18. I'm not right. Everything looks fine, but I'm not right. Hey, when you got one of those times and somebody calls on you to pray, ain't that a kicker, man? Ain't that a kicker, man? Brother, would you pray? Oh, man. You'll feel right to say the blessing. You know, I ask God bless your food. You know, but you know, you say, but what do you do? You get right. Not a long, drawn-out thing. If you're just in your heart saying, I'm sorry, Lord, I am really... You know, you just acknowledge it. You just get right. Just inside, you say, Lord, nobody else sees it, but God, you know my attitude of my heart is not right. And you get the thing right. All right? Go back to Exodus. Go back to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Guys, I don't know about y'all, but I had a misunderstanding, too. I thought when you got married... Something took place to where a wife become a mind reader. I thought they were supposed to read minds. And boy, it just really threw me a loop when I found out that you know, she missed that course. You know, been preparing for marriage and she didn't read my mind because I thought she was supposed to be able to do that. And you know what really hurts? Man. Guys who have good wives, they'll try to do something for us or try to do something they thought was the right thing. And to us, it was the wrong thing because of things going on in our mind that we didn't tell them about, but we think they're supposed to read our mind. And they meant a good thing. We thought, well, if you read my mind, you know that, you know, it's... Amen. Just Lord help us. Look at Exodus 29. Look at verse 18. Verse 17 again. Excuse me, verse 17. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs. Hey, look at that. You know what you wash? You wash the inwards, then you wash the legs. Brother, somebody could probably make some real, wow, deep and esoteric theological points from here, but I just got to make plain stuff that I get from it. And here's what I get from it. Your walk ought to be clean too. The inwards and the legs. The inwards were washed and the legs. You know, y'all have a clean walk. To me, that inward speaks. The inward speaks of, you know, the spirit. The walk speaks of outward. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We ought to be right inwardly. And brother, we ought to be clean in our walk. In our walk. In our walk with the Lord. In our walk before God. In our walk with God in front of this world. Be clean. Let the Word of God cleanse you inwardly. Let the Word of God cleanse you in your daily walk with God and your intercourse with other people. Now, look what it says in verse 18. Verse 17 again. Thou shalt cut the ram in pieces, wash the inwards of him and his legs. Look at this. And put them unto his pieces and unto his head. Wow. Ain't that wild? I mean, this is wild. Here, this thing is supposed to be a whole burnt offering. But God says, cut it up, divide it in pieces, wash the inwards and wash the legs, and then put all that up to the head, put it to the head. Take it, says right here. Wash the inwards of him and his legs and put them under his pieces and under his head. Wow. Again, brethren, let God divide your life, divide your time, and arrange it the way He wants it. And you know what? From what I gathered, what I read, when that thing was arranged on the altar, the head, the legs were put close to the head. You know, brethren, I believe there ought to be a close connection between the walk and the mind. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. You know what? If you'll let God divide you up and arrange you, He'll arrange you in a manner that is not normal, the way things normally are done. There's something, instead of just throwing it up there, you cut it up and divide it and put the pieces and the inwards and the legs up to the pieces in the head. There's something. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If you're saved, you've got the mind of Christ. And brethren, that's how your walk ought to be. There ought to be a close connection between the mind and the walk. Go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen, brethren. Let God assert His sovereign right to have His way in your life. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible says you won't. Yeah, but I get tempted. It said about being tempted. It said you won't fulfill it. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means a close connection, brethren, between the mind. We've got the mind of Christ if we're saved, and the walk. Man, if you'll walk in the Spirit through the Word of God, through dying to self. But then listen, none of this can happen unless you first die to self. Let me tell you something. I want you to get this. The Jews were really, they were very humane. God made sure they were very humane about this. From what I gathered, the guy who did the sacrificing, the butcher, he was trained at what he did, quick. So they didn't, you know, you got to do it quick, man. Can you imagine trying to divide that lamb up while it's still alive? Give me that leg. Let me get your, I mean, can you imagine? That thing only worked when it was dead. Living for God and having an orderly life and having God's will for your life and what only works when you die to self. Can you imagine taking an animal and letting it still alive and trying to cut it up and divide it up and put it on the altar and burn it? Can you imagine doing that? You're going to have a mess on your hands. Strap down a living ram on top of a fire. Can you imagine the noise and the kicking and the... Not like mine in your life so often. Kicking and straining and pulling and saying, ow! You know what? We need to kill that thing first. You need to slay old self. Old self needs to die. And then you know what? Your life can be divided up. It can be arranged. It can be offered up the way in any way God wants it to be done. Man, you can't, man. You know how somebody was able to be martyred for the faith? Dying to self. Man, let me tell you something. You die to self, all kinds of things are possible for Christ. But you've got to die to self first. Death has to come first. You didn't take that ram and throw it up there alive on that thing to burn. Wouldn't that have been something to listen to? Man, cut that thing up. Give me that leg. Give me that. Let me get your inwards out. The thing's still alive. Death first. Then it was to be divided and arranged. And even offered up as a burnt offering. Man. Even to the extent of martyrdom can the believer go if he dies to self. Brother, I'll tell you something. I hope you'll never forget what we're saying this morning. And I hope God will help me never forget. Look here. The principles are here. All right, go back just a minute to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. Verse 18. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. So finally we get to offer the whole thing. But it had to die first. And it had to be arranged, divided and arranged the way the Lord wanted it. Alright? The whole ram. You know, the Bible says, you're not your own, you're bought with a price, right? The Bible says, offer your body and your spirit belongs to God. Alright? You're not your own. Brethren, God wants all of you. Not any part held back. All of you. God wants all of you. Listen, I'll say it again. Get this. God wants all of you, but He wants you divided and arranged in the way He desires you. God wants all of you, but He wants your life divided and arranged the way He wants it. He wants all of you, but He wants your time divided and arranged like He wants it. Now listen to this. Listen. When this ram was burnt as an offering, and I just covered this point, but I want to make it again. When this ram was offered as a burnt offering, why didn't it feel any pain? It didn't. Isn't that something? That thing's going to be burnt, and it's going to feel no pain. You're going to think it's stupid while I'm telling you, but listen, it felt no pain. Man, that thing was offered, it was offered as a whole burnt offering and never felt a bit of pain. Because it's dead. Listen to me. If you're feeling pain and being offered wholly to God, you've not died to self yet. If you're in here this morning, and the idea of yielding totally to God, if that's causing you pain, well, what will that mean? What about my wife, brother, sister, mother, father, children, husband, wife, grandmother, or my job? If you're kicking, that's causing you pain. You're not dying to self yet. Are you with me? That ram never felt one bit of pain on that altar. Not one. Not a pain. Man, that thing was burning, roasting. There felt no pain. It's dead. The reason you feel a pain about the idea of service to God and yielding to Him and what God may do with your life and what this and that is because you've not died to self. You die to self, you can be offered. You can be yielded. You can be divided, ranged, and offered up as God desires for you when you've died to self. And the Bible says this, verse 18, it is a burnt offering unto the Lord. A burnt offering unto the Lord. Go to Matthew 10 just a minute. Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Matthew 10 verse 39. Matthew 10 verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for the cause of diabetes shall find it. No. He that loseth his life for the cause of equal rights shall find it. No. He that loseth his life in the cause of political parties shall find it. No. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Brother, people lose their life in all kinds of causes. But you only lose your life and find it when you lose it for Christ's sake. When you lose yourself for Christ's sake. Richard Nixon, I believe, made a statement one time. He said, a man that's never lost himself in a cause bigger than himself has missed one of the great mountaintop experiences of life. Wow. So close yet so far. In other words, he saw that when you lose yourself in something else other than yourself, there is reward to it. But you know what? Not eternal reward. And not really even the reward in this life like can be. And there's no eternal reward. It only profits when you lose yourself for Christ. What's the theme we're here this morning, brother? Dying to self, losing your life. Don't you see? There's a theme this morning. It's death to self. Death to you. Death to me. Death to ourself. Then we can be yielded, divided and arranged and offered to God in a way well pleasing to Him. Go back real quick to Exodus 29, just a little bit more. Exodus 29. Verse 18, thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar, It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is, look at this, it is a sweet savor. An offering made by fire unto the Lord. A sweet savor. You know, a sweet savor is something that's it's pleasant. It's pleasing to the senses. Burning flesh. I like grilled meat. I like it. I think it smells pretty good, but I don't know that I've ever looked at it as a sweet savor. You know what I'm saying? I don't know anybody that would say that roasted lamb is a sweet savor, perhaps. Oh, especially if you're environmentalist, they probably think that's a stench to. But to God, it would. But see, this wasn't offered to man; it was offered to God. And brethren, what might not be and won't be pleasing and pleasant to this world will be to God, though. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. But we shouldn't be going, brethren, doing what will be pleasing to the world. They can't understand this. We should be concerned with what's pleasing to God. To the world, we'll probably be a stench. Look at their God. He has them take a ram, a sheep, poor thing, and they slit its throat, and then hacks them up and puts them on a fire and roasts them. And their God says it's a sweet savor. Oh, I'm glad my God's not like that. Don't you see, brother, that's what the world is concerning you? I'm glad my God doesn't have me do like those crippled. Well, my God, listen, when somebody tells you, well, my God's not like that. Exactly. Their rock's not our rock. Our enemies themselves being judges. That's exactly right. So that's not my God. Friend, you're exactly right. But look here. The God of this Bible has you doing ways better than the world will not understand. And the things that are sweet savor to Him will be no doubt a stench to the world. And let me tell you, what's sweet to this world is a stench to God and should be to you and I. This thing was offered, brethren, unto the Lord. Brethren, you're not out to please the world, and you ain't, let me tell you, you ain't out to please the brethren. You're out to please God. This thing was offered, look here, it says verse 18, it is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Brethren, that's a picture of Christ. Christ, go to Ephesians 5 a minute. I do want you to see this. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us. Look at this. Look what He is to us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. The world looks at Christ and says, a misguided, deluded Jew. He had messianic tendencies. He was misguided. A philosopher, but a little too radical. George Patton says, why'd he give up? Why'd he say it's finished? Why'd he quit? The world looks at him and says, what a revolting sight. To God, that sacrifice was a sweet smelling and savor. Let me tell you something. To those who are saved, so it is too. They can't appreciate Christ like you and I can appreciate Him. That's Christ. That sweet smell of Savior is Christ. But may I also say that it is to be the believer also? Go to 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2. And verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. He does, amen. And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Man, by the grace of God, brethren, everywhere we go, I'll leave a difference. You know that? Everywhere we go, there'll be a difference. Somebody ought to know that a child of God has been around. There'll be a difference, man. Look here. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Amen, brethren. Brother Robert Sheffield, in his meetings, every year when he would have his meetings, his camp meetings there, way back in the 1800s, there was a lady, they called her the Lady in Red, I believe. She would always come and have a flower, and she would come to the meetings and stay on the fringes, but she would never come in. She never got saved. They prayed for her continually. You know what she told, I don't know if she got saved or not, maybe she did, but in the, that's what I remember she didn't, but you know what they would tell her in the book? You know what they related that she told him one time? She took a rose or a, and she said, you see that? She said, you want to make my life. She says she crumbled herself. She says, you want my life to be taken away from me and me to be nothing. And she, see, that's, she saw, she was drawn, but yet there was a part of her. She looked at those saints of God, and she ridiculed them, but she kept coming back. And she knew that if she got saved, her life would change. At least she saw that, praise God. She saw her life would change. To her, it would be like, I would die. I would die to be like you people would be death. She didn't understand. She'd gain life. Real life. Yeah, in the eyes of the world, she'd be dead. Essentially. But she'd have life in Christ. You see, brethren, used to, the way of a believer's life to the world looked like death. Huh? And to the world, their life was so exciting that a believer's life looked like death. But you know what happened? Somewhere along the line, professing Christians said, oh, no, we've got to show the world that we're full of life, too, and make it look that we're being a Christian, enjoyable, too. Come on, brethren. Them old people understood. They understood you get saved. It's different. It's different. And to the world, it looks like death. No. Tozer said it. A.W. Tozer said it. The church changed and said, we'll give you the same thing the world offers, only clean. And with God, we'll give you the same thing. No. Those old saints understood it was a radical difference. And you know, a man came to abiding of the ways and a choice to make. Do I go with God and die to myself and have what looks like death? And what he does when he walks to the door? He finds life. But it looked like death. So you know what's happened? They just changed things around, man. Start changing things around. And so we've got to appeal. So being a Christian looks buoyant and good. And just like the same thing the world has. Then why change? I mean, Chris, your brother said it. Rock and roll Christian, rock and roll. Why not stick with the thing that's not being hypocritical? Huh? If you're going to listen to it, man, why not listen to the real thing rather than something that's trying to be hypocritical? Brethren, the Bible says here, to the one we are the savior of death and the death, and to the other the savior of life and the life. There's a difference, brethren. It's supposed to be a difference. Our life may look like death, but I don't have to go out here and try to make the world look like, see, I can have good times too. And I have, hey, come on. There's a radical change of life in being saved. Brethren, it's life. It is life. It is life, for sure. But it ain't like out there. It's a different product, buddy. And it's far better. But it, boy, don't look the same. And it's wrong to try to make them look the same. All right, look here. Get Tozer's track, The Old Cross the New. He puts it better than I do, for sure. All right, look here. It's Christ and it's us, brethren, a sweet savor. And I'm just about done, but I want you to get this. A sweet savor in Scripture is said to mean this. It's said to denote that which renders a thing acceptable to God or His acceptance. All these things, brethren, in Exodus 29, verses 16 through 18, all those things work together to make an offering that was a sweet savor unto God. Are you with me? In other words, you didn't just take a ram and plop that thing on an altar. You killed it first. You divided it up. You washed the inwards. You washed the legs. You arranged it a certain way. Then you offered it. There was an order. There was a process to it. But once it was all done, it was something that was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Listen. You know what the ram's part in the whole thing was? I mean, Moses did it all. Moses wanted to do all the work here with it. You know what the ram's part to do was? Yield to death. That's its part. The ram's part was simply to yield to death. God will do the arranging in your life. You understand me? Moses went and had that thing killed, slew it, divided it, arranged it, washed it. The ram's part was just to yield. Somebody else did all the work. God will take and He'll divide you and arrange you and wash you. And your part is just to yield to death to self. That's your part. He'll take care of the other. And you know what that will make you? A sweet savor unto God. The offering of your life and your service will then be a sweet savor to the Lord, like it's supposed to be. The fire doesn't hurt you. if you already did. In closing, go to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. You know what Paul said? He said, I die daily. Daily. Jesus said, take up your cross. How often? Daily. Paul said, I die daily. Brethren, look here. It is your... That's a song we're going to sing in a minute. I'm going to have you pray. I'm going to have you meditate here in a minute. I'm going to have you think about what's been said. I'm going to have you let God speak to your heart. The song she's going to play is your all the altar sacrifice laid. But let me ask you something. Is it? Is there a part of you that's being held back? Is there a part of you you are afraid to let go? It may be a house, it may be a car, it may be a job, husband, wife, mother, father, son, daughter, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa. Who knows, but I don't know what it may be. Is there a part of you you are not willing to say, Lord, I yield it. I yield it. Thy will be done. Is there a part of you that's not on that altar there? Then why not this morning admit to God your all is not on the altar sacrifice laid and rectify that situation? Then would you be willing to strive to tomorrow morning? Get up. Hey, not just tomorrow morning, today, and say, Lord, I'm yours. Have your way, have your will. I yield today to thee. Then when something comes up, realize you've yielded that to God. Let God cleanse you from any wrong attitude. Let Him divide and arrange you like you're supposed to be. All right? Let Him do what needs to be done to let your life be a blessing unto Him and for His service. But brethren, it can't happen unless you die to yourself. And that's your main part. Dying to self. Putting self on that cross. Not me, but Christ. Hey, I don't know. God may let your life tomorrow just go right along like you had kind of planned to do. But do you yield the right to Him to intervene in any way so He sees fit? To let Him have His way. He bought you with His blood. You're His. But are you holding back? Our Father, we thank You for this time. Lord, thank You for these...